Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Middle of the week, I'll be darned. And yes, I don't know. Did you hear some faint, distant, possibly vulgar sounding noises earlier this morning? Because if you did, it was probably me. I mean, I busted out plumb all Yosemite Sam about 8:30 this morning when I walked out and saw snowflakes flying in the air. Now, granted, it's not like we got some big snowstorm or anything, but at this point, snowflakes, really? It was almost more than I could stand. I think my Tourette's kicked in. But they're gone. It's still cold as hell. I guess you'll have that in spring, you know, what with a climate that's a wreck. I mean, gee whiz, you want to know how bad it's gotten? That weirdo governor of Ohio, John Kasich, said, and I quote, "Something's wrong with our climate." And I don't think he meant that the climate wasn't conservative enough or the climate had recently dropped sponsorship of ALEC or anything. That's how bad. Say. Okay, taking care of a little business here real quick. So no, really, we've made it to Wednesday, even if it had snowflakes this morning. I guess I'll get by. But you know what? It's really weird. The minute that the intro music started, literally the minute that I opened the mic to say, well, howdy, rays of sunlight began beaming through this Head On Radio Network color weather window that we have here. And I think it's a sign. It's a sign from on high. Yes, brethren and sistren. Hallelujah, glory. Amen and amen. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Put your hands in the air. We're going to have a prayer meeting tonight, brethren and sisters. Oh, the likes of which you cannot imagine. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Worlds without end. So we will have... As the plate with the PayPal button in the bottom of it gets passed around, and we wait on the deacons to finish their cigarettes out there in the parking lot smoking with the sinners, we'll invite our minister of music up. Now, if you go and look at the new widget over at headonradionetwork.com, you'll see that we're making progress, but we still have some fundraising to do to draw even with the middle of the month of April, almost said March. And, you know, just, if you can, we're looking for the thrifty $250. We don't look for million-dollar contributions. Just a little $10 here, $10 there, and thank you for the contributions that have come in. We met Dr. John's challenge last night. Thank you very kindly. And it's always much appreciated to see when that sort of thing happens, because it means that that sense of community is well at work. So as the plate passes, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if our minister of music would please come forward and lead us in our offertory hymn.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, play me a moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mary's dotes and dozy dotes and little lambs of Davy, a kiddly Davy too. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Oh, come on down that blood red aisle. Quit fiddling around out in the vestibule. Them buttermints ain't no good anyway. They've been sitting in that dish for 20 long years. Come on down that blood red aisle and fall on your knees at the altar here. Fall on your knees and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. Hallelujah, glory! I am Arch Pope, Ultimate Imam, Uber Rabbi, Animated Animist, Superior Spiritualist, Bob Kincaid. And this, brethren and sistren, all this is the cathedral, as I said, of common sense. Oh, brethren, what a program we have for you this evening. Oh, brethren, what a service. And sistren, what an ingathering together of power and spirit we have before us in this midweek as we contemplate the irony of the universe. Let's go first to, what shall we call him? Something or another, emeritus, I guess. Pat, there are no real words that can adequately describe Pat Robertson. Nay, there are not. The words themselves must merely be heard as they, inspired from the mouth of Almighty to his ear, spill forth upon the waves of the 700 Club.
This is Kenneth, who says, I'm a Christian and my wife isn't. We're on a very tight budget. I want to tithe, but my wife doesn't understand how I could possibly give our money away when we can't make ends meet. She gets very angry when we talk about this. I don't know how to handle this since our house is divided spiritually. What's the right thing to do?
Give her a good beating.
You know, big man, you are the boss. I know people don't like to hear that, but you are the high priest of your family, and you are the man of the house. Now, if you're taking her money and she's earning it and you're giving away her money, that's a different matter. But assuming you're the breadwinner, if you want to give, that's between you.
Spiritual leadership.
That's a thing of leadership, and you need to push forward and your wife will come along. But if you're vacillating and she pulls you back, then, you know, you're not much of a leader. You're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to be the high priest. You're supposed to intercede for your family before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And as they say, man up.
Yeah, thanks for our buddies over at Right Wing Watch for that, rightwingwatch.org. Man up? Really? And what was that about using Vaseline somewhere in there?
That you're getting a little icky there with the. You're supposed to be the high priest. You know who believes that the husband is the high priest of the household? Mormons. Mm-hmm. No, really. It's in their 14 articles of faith. I was just reading them, I guess, last night. Weird, 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 weird. No, I'm sorry. What was the lyric from South Park? Dum, 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 dum. High priest? You mean like the guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark who melted in every... Blah. Man up. But is Pat Robertson actually beginning to moderate his positions? Did you hear him say that he couldn't actually take his wife's earnings and give them to the church? Because that is real. That, you know, first he's recommending that marijuana be decriminalized, and the next thing he's actually suggesting that women who earn money actually own the money that they earn. Next thing he'll be giving them shoes. Yeah, see, Marty, you're where I am. Fraud emeritus, charlatan emeritus. No, that's still too weak. High priest. Oh, my aching back. Speaking of high priests, there's always Billy Graham. And you want something scary? You need to see a photograph of Ann Graham Lotz. That's L-O-T-Z, Lotz. Like the old candy, Zotz, Z-O-T-Z. Only with an L instead of the Z, at least on the front end. She looks like Billy in a bad wig. Now, and this is part of a larger thing. I don't know, you know, last Sunday was Easter, right? Yeah, it was. Because, Palm Sunday fell on April Fool's Day. Last Sunday was Easter, and all of the Sunday prostitute shows, Press the Meat, Meet the Prostitutes, Face the Prostitute, This Week with Prostitutes on ABC, all of them, Fox News Prostitutes, CNN Sunday Prostitute, every last one of them, no kidding. Spent Easter talking about the war on religion. Okay, we can have that conversation. There's only one problem, though. They didn't have anybody there who, you know, because whatever happened to that idea, because, you know, it's all false equivalence as long as the false equivalence inures to the benefit of the right wing or the 1%. In this case, however, it was all a bunch of priests and televangelists and Billy Graham in a bad wig. I mean, honest to goodness, you'll have to look it up for yourself. I realize I'm talking about a photograph on the radio. Yes, I'm dancing about architecture. I know it. But you know that grin that Jim Carrey gets in The Mask when he's got the mask on that's just a whole head full of teeth? That grin, I think the animators got that from looking at Ann Graham Lotz, Billy's daughter. Now, while other shows were fulminating over the war on religion and whatnot, David MC Rove Gregory, who wants to join that country club in Chevy Chase where the black folks in liveried costumes go around serving mint juleps to the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, David Gregory brought Ann Graham Lotz on to talk about what we need out of a politician. Let's just let Ann do the job for herself, shall we?
We are back with our roundtable. Back in 1957, your father, the Reverend Billy Graham, was on this program, and the question came up in the context of how to spread the word to the public,
as if you're
how
a Christian.
Talk about religion. We've been talking about sort of de-emphasizing the talk of theology in our national political life, and yet here was Reverend Billy Graham saying, "Hey, no, we got to broadcast this." Watch.
You've been quoted as saying, "I'm selling the greatest product in the world, Why shouldn't it be promoted as well as soap? Is that an accurate quote, Dr.?
I think it possibly is.
Can you explain it to us?
Yes, I do believe that we can use modern means of communication. The problem of the church today is indifference in its evangelistic thrust and in its mission. It's facing apathy and indifference. And we have the problem of communication. We have the message, but how to communicate it to the masses? And we have used television and radio and the press and every way we possibly can to communicate the fact that Christ can transform human lives.
He was for and is for using every platform available.
Right. But for the church, for my daddy, who is an evangelist and televised his meetings, I don't think he was necessarily talking about the political arena when you're running for president.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just having a discussion over the break that it's...
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember if we're talking about the same Billy Graham. This is the Billy Graham who sat in the Oval Office with Richard Nixon as Richard fulminated, Billy, you know what our problem is in America? It's the Jews, Billy. And Billy said, I do believe that you're probably right, Mr. President. It's the Jews. Oh, yes, Billy, those Hollywood Jews. That Billy Graham. You know what Billy Graham and former coach Bobby Petrino, formerly of the Arkansas Razorbacks football team, have in common? They're the only two people who can make the entire state of Arkansas stand on its feet and yell, Jesus Christ! Yeah, you know Bobby just got canned, right? There he was, the first decent football coach that Arkansas had had since the Hogs were piglets. And he goes running off, giving a motorcycle ride to a pretty young blonde thing, and getting himself in a motorcycle and wreck. And then he lied about the pretty young blonde thing being in wreck, too. And it turns out he got her a job. And then he announced that he didn't tell the athletic director about the pretty young blonde thing on the motorcycle on account of how it was an inappropriate relationship. Yeah, the Latin for that is in flagrante delicto. In flagrante delicto is Latin for in bed. Jesus Christ.
Interesting that Jimmy Carter and George Bush were both considered evangelicals,
mm-hmm.
but very different. So to me, I still think we need to look at the policies. And I do want a president. I would not vote for a man who was an atheist. Because I believe you need to have an acknowledgement, a reverence, a fear for Almighty God.
In other words, she hates the Constitution of the United States. I would not vote for a man who is an atheist because I think you have to have an acknowledgement for all, a reverence, a fear for Almighty God. Yeah, a sticker in our window says, fear this. Hey, John Koontz. The Constitution... Ruth Graham Zotz, Lots, whatever. Ruth Ann, what the hell is your name? Oh, Ann Graham Lots. The Constitution of the United States, sister, says that there shall be no religious test for the holding of office in this country. Because, you see, the framers of the Constitution, flawed document though it may be, had been through, they had a working knowledge of a European history where if you were this but not that, you couldn't, but you could if you were that but not the other. You know, if you prayed one way, if you crossed your... daddy plays dominoes, somebody plays dominoes, amen, and you made the cross the wrong way on your chest. Baby, you were out of luck. You were beyond the pale. But that's okay. This daughter of a huckster, well, she can't help it if she's un-American. She can't help it if she hates the Constitution of the United States. Because, you know, Jesus told her to.
And I believe that's where wisdom comes from.
It's so interesting that you say that, the point about the public's desire for men and women.
Get your nose a little further up there, David, because if she burps, we're going to see your smiling face. God forbid you should take that moment to remind her, Ms. Lotz, there's this constitutional provision that says there shall be no religious test for the holding of office in the United States. Are you suggesting that you know better than the framers of the Constitution?
Yeah, we wouldn't want David to do that. It might affect his country club application.
Of faith in national life, and we have some polling that indicates really that point of just how strongly that belief is held. 65% Archbishop believe that it's important that a presidential candidate believes in God.
Why couldn't, I mean, I've had Dave Silver from American Atheists on the program. He is an incredibly intelligent, genial soul. Could they not, was Dave Silver off at Easter Sunday services? Was that why, closetly worshiping, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure Dave, who is the head of American Atheists now, I'm sure that he would have been happy to show up and provide at least a little counterpoint to this pharisaic, hypocritical, phony, baloney, pious posturing.
I think people have an intuition that religious faith is connected with the moral values that make for just laws. And that if...
Huh? What, Edith? That's Bishop William Laurie, Archbishop Designate of Baltimore. And yeah, we just have this intuition. Wait a minute. Can we get one of those logic guys to get in here and explain to us the value of intuition? Oh, how I wish I had. How I wish I had that little Monty Python clip handy. For if I say to my wife that all mackerel are fish and all fish live underwater, she will conclude not that all mackerel live underwater, but that if she buys kippers, it will not rain, or that trout live in trees, and even that I do not love her anymore. This she calls using her intuition. I call it crap, because it is not logical. Yeah, I just love that we got an archbishop designate here opining about how people just know that intuitively know that religion is the basis of just law, when if he had his way, no woman in the United States of America would be able to attend to the basic functions of her own body, because that would be one of those laws that just naturally came from religion. Or maybe there'd be a law that said, on Fridays priests get to rape two little boys instead of one, and that there shall be no prosecution. Maybe that's another one of those just laws that come intuitively from religion.
We cut our laws away from their moral moorings. We're not going to have a society which we would like to think of as a civilization of justice and love.
You mean where little boys who have been buggered by priests can go to the cops and the prosecutor without having their so-called souls threatened with eternal damnation by a priest, a bishop, a cardinal, and a pope? One of those just societies? Bishop?
So they're really... I think that what we want to say is that religion is not an irrational force. It's not a...
Duh, what? It's not an irrational force? Believing that God came down and raped a teenager to conceive his son, whom he then had murdered, is rational? Rational? Really? Really? Rational?
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
I don't either, Inigo. I don't think it means what he thinks it means, this rational.
Divisive force. In all of our diversity, our faiths contribute to a moral consensus that underlies our laws.
And you mean the moral consensus that two people who love each other can't get married? That kind of moral force? Or you mean the kind of moral force that says,
that we should just go ahead and let an entire continent burn up with HIV because the Pope is afraid that putting some little thingy on the end of one's John Thomas will cut into church membership, because the fastest growing sector of the church is the place where people worship with a rosary in one hand and a dead chicken in the other? That kind?
The more we build that moral consensus about the dignity of human life,
fetuses,
charity, the common good, the more we're going to be able to find ways of talking across the partisan divide. And so I think that religion has a huge role to play, and we have to watch out getting instrumentalized one way or the other.
Yeah, okay, sure. You betcha. What, Marty? Rational is in the eye of the beholder? Yeah, David, sure. Adolf was a good Catholic. Thus, he did well with that good law stuff. Right, Bob? Oh, right you are, David. Trying not to hold back here. Betsy, you're not likely to find that little piece. That Monty Python piece. It's an interlude piece that actually appears on the soundtrack of the trailer to the film of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I think it would probably be filed under Professor of Logic or Logic Professor. I didn't find it either. Oh yeah, thanks for the addendum, David. Ms. Lotz, she looks like Billy in a bad wig with a body like Nancy Bones Reagan. Mommy. That by P.S. Thank you, David. What a visual. Yeah, you're right, Marty. Pat Robertson, convict, would be a good start. And yes, Marty, that was a woman speaking. At least at first, it wasn't David Gregory. Oh, it only gets better. This is, after all, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And by the way, we are still waiting for the announcement of what the charges will be against the missing, on the lam, George Zimmerman, speaking, since the bishop wants to talk about justice and whatnot. Yeah, second degree murder. Heat of passion murder. Well, you gotta catch him first, right? Brazil! By the way, I've referenced it in the past, that lovely little moment with the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, where he talked about doing his gig in Alabama and having some necks come up to him after and said, "We didn't like what you said about Jesus." And the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, replied, "Really? Okay, so forgive me." This falls into that file as well. It's the story of a student, a 17-year-old student named Maverick Couch. No, really. And Maverick Couch was living up to his first name. Maverick Couch has apparently victimized the right-wing religion industrial complex, because he wore a T-shirt to school. Now, it didn't say anything dirty. It didn't say, you know, F the authorities or F the teachers or F the principals. Hey, it didn't even say bong hits for Jesus. It was just a T-shirt that manifested his personal religious expression. Because you see, Maverick Couch wore a T-shirt to school that said, "Jesus is not a homophobe." The school cracked down. They tried to stop Maverick Couch from wearing that T-shirt saying, "Jesus is not a homophobe."
and the free speech activists of the right-wing religion industrial complex who are always hooting and hollering about their precious First Amendment rights to their religious liberty and their morals and their consciences. Crickets. Crickets. Not a word. Can we burn him at the stake? Well, then they stop being quite so quiet. That's when right-wing religion industrial complex radio host Janet Mefford said that a T-shirt that says Jesus is not a homophobe is disgusting. Disgusting. You know, like when you see a puddle of vomit on the public sidewalk. Disgusting. Because we know what disgusting is all about, right? That's what's disgusting. She even posted it on her Facebook page. This is just disgusting. One of her freakish little followers then posted, whether anyone believes this or not, it remains true. We are in a war here. Of course, the Christian then goes immediately to a war analogy. A spiritual battle between what is good and what is demonic. Really, young Maverick Couch, 17 years old, with a T-shirt that says Jesus is not a homophobe, is demonic. It will never stop until the Lord returns with us at the end of the tribulation and sets foot on the Mount of Olives once again, splitting it in two. What's he going to do with the pit? And then claiming his earthly throne in the temple. Gear up, feller Christians. The battle is here. Oh, you are so right. I agree, Janet, and it is appalling and offensive. Or more appropriately, Jesus wept. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. Linda Harvey is the president of Mission America. Do we sing F Yeah after that? Oh, no, that's Team America. And Linda Harvey's upset about the word homophobe being used. Because that means that when you use the word homophobe, what you're really doing is you're persecuting the Christians. See, they're always persecuted, even when they're not. You're a persecuting the Christians. Homophobia is a mean, hateful term, but don't take my word for it.
You've probably already heard about the 17-year-old boy in Waynesville, Ohio, who is suing his school because they asked him not to wear a controversial T-shirt. Maverick Couch has a T-shirt featuring a rainbow-colored Christian fish and the words, "Jesus is not a homophobe." Yes, you heard that right. And it all revolves around the upcoming pro-homosexual Day of Silence.
Do the people that listen to this freaky lady have a hearing problem? Yes, you heard that right. What was so shocking? The fish was rainbow-colored? Really? Jesus is not a homophobe. Yes, you heard that. I guess Linda Harvey never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, even Acid Trip John, or the book that should have made it in but didn't, The Gospel of St. Thomas. That one's particularly troubling, the Gospel of Thomas, because that's the one that has the Bible verse about you shall be saved when a man shall become a woman and a woman shall become a man, or a woman must become a man. Really confusing. Wow, I'm buffering like crazy here. I really hate that. But things have calmed down a little bit. No, she missed all of that, because, see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John Thomas, none of those have Jesus saying anything about being a homophobe, but yeah, you heard that right. Because, you know, in the fourth book of Matthias, it says right there in chapter 69, "Behold,
Jesus did take a staff and did whack the living sot out of the Homer sectional and say, "Be gone from you, for I am a homophobe." It says it right there. Matthias 4:69. Right? No. Nowhere. Not a blessed word.
Silence observed in most schools on Friday, April 20th. Not a disbelief that Maverick, who is openly homosexual in his behavior and identity, isn't very sincere in what he's doing. He's quoted as saying that he bullied and called names. He is wearing the shirt to encourage respect. Why he should not be bullied should other students. Schools don't have to race homosexuality to prevent bullying. And the even bigger here is, shirt is tragic and profound leading. Assumptions are wrong.
Leading? I got it. Hear the rest of it about you. You see, now I have before. One of the clips I listened to beforehand, this one I heard. So, shall we make a wager? Can't reference Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Because the closest thing sexuality is the one part Jesus suggests out and made eunuchs of the part about get divorced, or we will head off and put you on a stew and barbecue, and I mean with the sauce and the spicy slaw. Because that part there. Really? So we'll lay a little wager and find out what it. Now, I'm sorry. I can't do anything about off. This is weird and interesting. Download speed 0.63 Mbps. Upload speed 0.1 Mbps. That's on this end. That's never a problem. Hopefully settle down. If not, I'll have some music in a minute. We'll find what in the hell's going on. But land out why back up. This is misleading.
This shirt is tragically and profound misleading. Assumptions are wrong. Can't even talk about it until we deconstruct its implications. Homophobia is mean, hateful, to intend to put anyone with traditional value on the defensive.
Traditional values, that's code for to put this on defensive.
As if being to homosexuality is a phobia. It's not. It reflects
It kind of is, and there's some science behind it now, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Common sense, good judgment, sound health, and strong morality. Which Jesus is this young man talking about? He's implying the same false faith of liberal churches today that rely on only a carefully chosen few passages from the New Testament and then ignore everything else. It's uninformed Christianity at best and deliberately falsified at worst.
Geez, I lose my own bet. She couldn't even haul out crazy old tent maker sniffing stuff Paul and his ranting about presumably homosexuality, but it's not really. She just says, no, he's just reading it wrong. He's reading it sideways. That's what he's doing. He's reading it sideways. A few chosen passages from the New Testament. Well, at least they've got passages, because, sister, you don't have any. Jesus was utterly silent about the homosexuality. Not a word. Unless, of course, you include the fact that he said, love everybody, not just the straight people. Golly, Ned. It's a stunning little moment, this study that came out. Brand new study. From scientists at the University of Rochester, the University of Essex, England, and the University of California in Santa Barbara. That's a pretty broad swath of countryside, isn't it? And this is the quote from the study. Homophobia, which they don't define as being a mean, nasty, hateful term, but rather an actual term to define bigots whose fixation is upon the sexuality of other people, homophobia is more pronounced in individuals with an unacknowledged attraction to the same sex and who grew up with authoritarian parents who forbade such desires. Individuals who identify as straight but in psychological tests show a strong attraction to the same sex may be threatened by gays and lesbians because homosexuals remind them of similar tendencies within themselves. Those are the words of Netta Weinstein, the lead author of the study.
Richard Ryan, a co-author, said, in many cases, these are people who are at war with themselves, and they are turning this internal conflict outward. Now, I don't know what the study methodology was, but see, when you take some study subjects and you do a survey on them, you know, how badly do you hate the queers? I don't. Answer A, I don't. Answer B, I really don't think about them. Answer C, they gross me out. Answer D, a lot. And you take all the ones who answered D, a lot, and you sit them in a room, and you put some little wires on them in strategic places, and you start showing them pictures of gay porn. Well, the guys give themselves away, because even though they're in a darkened room or whatever, little Mr. Happy gets a little bit happier, and uh-oh, latency. Now, I don't know what you do about the female half. Ron, I'm glad you noticed it. I've always liked the mental image of folks girding their loins. I hope the Christo-fascists gird up their loins a bunch. That loin girding, they're always doing some loin girding. David, you're right. The blip skip part of the program has begun. Hopefully it's settled down now. I don't know what was causing it. I don't know if somebody was on the... Well, if I play some music, I can go and find out. Our pop culture correspondent, David from Maine, reportedly that Zimmerman is reportedly in custody and charged with second-degree murder. Kind of hate that, because they charged first-degree murder. The second-degree murder is a lesser-included offense, as are all the other forms of murder, unless Florida is dramatically different from that that we have here in Almost Led West by God. No, we're still buffering. This is just playful. I'm about to have me a hissy. Can't get websites load. Yeah, okay. NBC reported at 6:40 p.m., George Zimmerman is in custody in Florida and will be charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of John Martin. Angela Corey, the special prosecutor appointed by Florida Governor Rick Scott, saying, "We did not come to this decision lightly." The grand jury took first-degree murder off the table. So that means Zim. You remember what the right-wingers said. Nice shooting, Zim. All he is life in prison and not death penalty. And there's some good time involved with that, because that's not life without parole. That's serve a few years and get back out and start and go back hunting again. So take that at good news it may be. Cute. That's good, Randy. Must be a case of the Christian in the loins den. Right here every night. Yeah, the skippity-lippity continues. I gotta see what the hell's going on, because it's going on here. Oh, God, I hate breaking this stuff up. But I'm gonna. Yeah, right, the study only dealt college undergrads like that. Wasn't one of those measured blood flow. But still, I still, Sister Happy gave some that way. Well, let's get a little music going while I go and investeer again. This is Prayer Wednesday on the Horn. I'm Bobkin, and somebody's on my bed with.
God of the sun, don't make me wait till the morning. Don't keep waiting. always love you. But long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, though life would still go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Ironic bumper music around here. It's about 8 minutes before the hour. I probably should have just gone ahead and run the second hour intro here. Why don't I do that?
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Up the flow. And by the way, yeah, just so you'll know, there is nothing wrong with your internet radio. There's nothing wrong with your device. There's nothing wrong with your phone. There's nothing wrong with your PC, your laptop. There's nothing even wrong with the streaming service. Everybody and their cousin was on the Wi-Fi right at this just now. Not everybody and their cousin. There are no cousins in this house. And not everybody, just mainly Agnes and Poop. Oh well, it's all simmered down now, should be back to normal, assuming the entire audience has not already taken a powder. Gosh, I hope you haven't. I hate to think that the Horn family bails that easily. It's about, 6 minutes before the hour. Now, where were we? David in Tennessee. Thank you. Pleading second-degree murder down to manslaughter and a suspended sentence is a closer reach. Just wait. The Florida governor will have both his feet in this one. Oh, look. This just in from the Department of Cynicism. I would bet that the pardon, has already been written. I mean, Rick Scott is a one-termer anyway. Would you put it past he's got some sympathy, right? Because isn't Rick Scott? Why, yes, he is. He is an unindicted co-conspirator in a Florida bunco scam. So would anybody be surprised to see him
Harden? Zim? You see, I wouldn't. And thanks, everybody, for letting me know that you were having problems. I saw them as they were happening, and wow, was it frustrating. I mean, I was down to almost no bandwidth whatsoever. Ever. Yes, a good observation coming in from Marty. Jesus not a homophobe? Well, he hung out with 11 or 12 other men. I doubt a homophobe would. Yeah, there's that. Clayton writing in, noting, and Zimmerman's prosecutor sat down with the family of young Trayvon only to sit down and pray. I want more for my prosecutors than effing prayer. Yeah, I share your sensibility on that, Clayton. So we shall see. We shall see where this takes us. It is prayer meeting Wednesday. And we will go to the phones. It's about 5 till 7 here on the East Coast. We'll go ahead and open up the phone lines. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. And what I mean by that is when you dial that number, you save us the charge of a toll-free call, which rolls in at about 5 cents a minute. They add up. No, let's go back for just the very last dredges of prayer meeting Wednesday and hear just a little bit more of the love that abides within the beating heart of the followers of Christ Jesus. There is no bigger follower of Christ Jesus than Dick Land. That's his name. His name's Dick Land. Yeah. So, I mean, of the Southern Baptist Convention, it was a little bit earlier this week, or this month rather, that Dick Land had this to say about the slaughter of Trayvon Martin.
You're listening to Richard Land Live.
He's got more plain intestinal fortitude than any guy I ever met.
I must emphasize the extreme sensitivity.
Wait a minute. Do I have to play that again? This is a man of God. A man of God. And that's the intro to this Man of God's program.
You're listening to Richard Land Live.
He's got more plain intestinal fortitude than any guy I ever met.
I must emphasize the extreme sensitivity of this information and let it not leave the room.
You're listening to Richard Land Live.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that the world is going to be more peaceful.
We're ready for your calls, so don't wait any longer. Call 888-324.
Nah, let's not give out the number. Let's go forward a little ways.
She's even gone to the point of describing George Michael Zimmerman as a white Hispanic. What is a white Hispanic? A Hispanic's a Hispanic. Are we going to call Mr. Obama a white black because he has a white mother? George Zimmerman has a Caucasian father and a Peruvian mother. So he's just as much a Hispanic as President Obama is an African American. Not a white Hispanic. He's a Hispanic. We'll be right back after this break.
Yeah, you do that, Dick Land. I can't wait to hear the rest of it. Here it is. No, we're not going to listen to that anymore.
Yeah. This narrative of white-on-black violence circa the Klansmen of 1965 faces us some major problems. First of all, Mr. Zimmerman is Hispanic. He has black relatives and close friends. He is a registered...
Now, did this guy from the Southern Baptist Convention just haul out the some of his best friends are black defense? By Jove, I kind of think he did. Yeah, he really, really did. He goes on to describe people clamoring for justice for young Trayvon as race hustlers. Race hustlers is one of those phrases that's used inside the white supremacy industry. He also said that race hustlers were using Trayvon Martin's murder to gin up the black vote, naturally for President Obama. He's gotten a little bit of heat for this, but you know what? He is a man of God, and he don't back down, for he is guided by the holy presence of the Lord. In fact, he issued a statement to the Baptist Press. Listen to what they call him. Southern Baptist ethicist. If he's an ethicist, Southern Baptist ethicist Richard Land, who played a key role in the Southern Baptist Convention's 1995 repentance of the racism of which we have been guilty, repentance, my old Aunt Edna, has caught media attention over what he, in comments provided to Baptist Press April 10th, why, that would be yesterday, Dick Land stood by his radio remarks. Some have said that I, by criticizing this rush to judgment, how can you have a rush to judgment when you can't even get the little bastard indicted? And that's only just now happened. Some have said that I, by criticizing this rush to judgment, have set back the cause of racial reconciliation, real racial reconciliation, which the white guy always naturally gets to define, to which I have been committed for my entire ministry, involves treating people as equals. Among other things, it means speaking the truth in love. Love? Yeah. Do I really have to cue up Tina singing What's Love Got to Do with It? And not being called a racist when you are the bearer of uncomfortable truths. True racial reconciliation means you can criticize black leaders when you believe they have been wrong without being labeled as a racist. Then say that they're wrong, Dick Land. Don't call them race hustlers like the Nazis do. True racial reconciliation means that you do not bow to the false god of political correctness. Here, ecce homo Christianicus, behold the Christian man. David in Tennessee noting, Bob, please remember, this Dick Land guy is such a certified genius that he said in August of 2008, this nomination is Fred Thompson's to lose. He is that strong. Yeah, half-dead Fred, really. And unless my besotted ears betray me, Dick Land has a bit of the demon's rum at his right hand. Him sloshed. Silly me, I stick with Barbancourt. He gets demon rum. I bet that stuff's got, overproof indeed. No, Marty, they weren't playing World of Warcraft. They were all just doing different. That's one of the curses of machine life. When you don't use them for a while, the first thing they want to do is run 7 million updates. Guess what happened? But see, everything's settled down real, real nice, hasn't it? Oh, I got more. Oh, Jeebus, I've got more. But by all means, let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
No, we didn't take a powder. We're all going skiing with you, Bob.
All right. Thank you, David from Maine. What's happening?
I just wanted to mention one thing about the skipping, that brings to mind a parody of Cinderella, Skippity Dippity Doo. instead of bippity boppity boo.
Yes, indeed. And then, of course, dippity doo with some sort of hair goo. And man, the next thing you know, we'll be talking about Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, let's not do that. The other thing I wanted to mention was that intro of that Richard Lamb completely reminds me of a cutting room floor seg or skit to the movie UHF when they're flipping the channels. Gandhi, he's pissed. Spatula City. Wheel of Fish.
Oh, God, I'd forgotten that.
But that's how absurd things have gotten.
This is a Baptist ethicist minister, and his radio show intro involves gunfire?
Can you imagine what would happen? I know lots of Christians will be pissed on this. Can you imagine what would happen if they had an extreme Muslim with gunfire in Florida? What would happen there, Bob? That would be, I think, the front page of Drudge in 1 second.
It's the Abdul X Mohammed show. Kabang, kabang, pow!
Now that would be interesting to see if someone could create kind of like a community project. How long could a extreme Muslim show last in
you know, that'd probably even get run off the internet.
Yeah. That's the amazing thing about all.
But you know, David, I think you know, I mean, we kid and we joke and we giggle a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's reality there. That is the real double standard that exists in this country. On Easter Sunday, you bring in all the freaks and the homophobes and the weirdos and the Billy Grahams in the bad wigs with Nancy Reagan's physique and you can't bring in an atheist on Easter. Well, Jesus wouldn't lie. I mean, can't they just come in on their own day? Oh, what, they don't have one? Well, they're lucky we let them stay in the country. That should have been double standards.
There's no, and the problem is there's no intelligent conversation you can give in this debate, because it's like that side of the aisle, so to speak. They do not want to have that conversation at all. It's extremely uncomfortable to talk about the issues of double standards, and then they just completely go off the rails and talk about complete nonsense. And, you know, when they talk about, for example, Muslims, or when they talk about other religions, whether it's Hindu, Buddha, or... But, you know, Muslim is the scapegoat of the... I guess of the ever since 9/11, it's
you know, that is another, that's another show intro I want to hear.
Yeah.
It's Buddhism Today with Daisat Suzuki. Bang, bang, kapow.
Yeah, that would go over well too. Or or a Sharia law show, having a discipline on the air, a scheduled discipline of somebody's wife. No, you cannot go out, or something to that level of extremity in a Middle Eastern culture. Just see how long that lasts. And again, it's that whole double standard that comes to play. How everything completely on the Christian side is just it just washes over them because it's the spirit of the Lord. You know, Bob, it comes to mind that I was watching a documentary called ties completely into this. It's called Waiting for Armageddon, and it's all about two evangelical families, one a generational evangelical family and one just a naive, gullible evangelical family who
new to the con, in other words.
Yeah, no, new to the con. What surprised me,
still trying to find that queen.
Yeah,
it's right here. It's only three cards. Oh, you're gonna get it next. Oh yeah, just tithe a little more.
But what surprised me is one of the evangelical families, the wife was a software programmer for algorithms for a jet engine. I was like, you can't be serious. And then
I want to know what jet engine, because I ain't getting on no airplane with that engine on it. I don't want anything to do with a fundamentalist, millennialist waiting for the rapture algorithmist.
Maybe we have to check in Google.
You know, you get about halfway into the algorithm and you go, and Jesus comes back. I'm done. Can I go home?
Maybe we need to check into Google and see if Hallelujah Aerial exists, or Aviation, Hallelujah Aviation. See whatever comes up. But the interesting thing about it was
Rapture Ready Airlines.
Rapture Ready Airlines. There's a million of them, you know.
I'm not sure. Is that the airline where you have to board naked?
I think it may be, and that's
because you're just going to fly right through the roof of the airplane. Isn't that going to be a shorter trip for the people who rapture in the air? Didn't they cover that in one of those Left Behind books by those hucksters?
I think they did. And that's the craziness of this documentary. They show they actually show one family going on the visit to the trip to Israel, and showing the guy shows a screensaver. He's proud to show a screensaver, and he says, "I photoshopped out the mosque, so it's not there. Because in the future, it's not going to be there." So he's talking about it like completely. He's like, you know, I was kind of hoping, and he said it was completely with a straight face. I was kind of hoping that Saddam Hussein would have hit a missile with that mosque, but you know, when Saddam died and all that, that went out the window.
How do you comprehend this stuff? Because I mean, you know, you do that. I love you, David, but I can't go the places that you go, man. I couldn't do it in a million years. How do you not just sit there and like, you know, claw at your flesh and howl like some wild dog when you're seeing the mosque ain't there?
I think it's because I came from a really away from the Bible Belt, completely separated from that, on a kind of like a.
So it's like a trip to the zoo for you. It's the clever monkeys of.
Yeah, I mean, basically it is sort of like that, because I mean the way I grew up, Bob, was completely away from the churches, completely from any of the religion. I mean we had family visits with some, you know, with some wackos coming over, like some relatives who were, you know, tied to Jerry Falwell and people like that, and Liberty University, and all of that crap. But when it was when they went overboard, Bob, my dad just said, "Okay, there's the door. See you later."
Goodbye now. We'll see you in another couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, because it's really pointless talking about all this stuff. It really is just a hustle, talking just to bring up the merchandise with the Left Behind series, all the different books.
I gotta get a cocktail for this. This is good. Yeah, honey, get the popcorn going. Yeah, oh, by the way, this in from your brother in the fraternity of David's, David right. in Tennessee. Never mind a Muslim radio show with gunfire opening. And this is truly a moment of Zen. So never mind the Buddhist radio show with the gunfire either. Just kind of let this one roll around, simmer in its own juices for a couple of seconds. Just enjoy the delicious irony of this. David in Tennessee says, "What about Tom Hartman opening his show with gunfire?" You know, and David just leaves a string of symbols there that are basically translated, "Are you effing kidding me? Sean Hannity would open with, 'It is an American insurrection.'"
Yeah, I mean, that's
it's beautiful.
It's the
Tom Hartman show. Kabang! Pow!
Well, he does have he does go to the gun range, and he does enjoy that with his family, but I don't think he would go to those extremes. But I mean, imagine this. Imagine a conservative, or more to the point, a liberal Satanist show, complete with all the evilness of that you can imagine, the death metal music opening, just right in the middle of Bible Belt. How long would that last? Like 1 minute, program director come in? "All right, you didn't tell me you're gonna do this."
On NBC.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, well, David, David's hard at work, right? He said, "No, no, no, Bob. It's Daisuke Suzuki with the thought for the day." P.S. The gun noise is a direct lift from G.I. Joe dime comic books. Really? And Michael Kidd A. from the chat room. If Dick Land is an ethicist, I'm an effing astronaut. Hell, I've flown with Kirk and Picard on every effing mission. Between Dick Land, his gun-ejaculating intro, and the homophobia study story earlier, all I can think of is Flight of the Conchords, too many dicks on the dance floor. No, it doesn't relate, just where my mind has stumbled. You see what we do to people here? Flight of the Conchords.
How about this one? Now on WFLA... Black Panther Radio. How long would that one last?
Yeah, with the sound of the oozy clip the thing being. New Black Panther Radio on WFLA.
As soon as they play the soundbite of Huey Newton, maybe they'll add Samuel Jackson just to mess with people.
Depends sales in white America would triple overnight. It's the new Black Panther radio program.
It would be the front page on Drudge, and again, that points to the whole double standard.
It wasn't even the content. Nobody, the stories that I read, David, about this Dick Land radio program were all about what he said. You know, I guess because I'm a radio guy, I pay attention to things like imaging and intros and outros and bumper music and yada, yada, yada. But I wasn't even planning to play that, but it just landed there. And I'm
blown away, but that would be a little too, working the metaphor a little too hard.
Yeah,
you know, the Baptist with the Prince of Peace, put up thy sword, let me glue his ear back on. It's that time of year, for Christ's sakes.
When I was watching that documentary, they were completely talking about how the climate of the evangelicals, how they were getting angrier and angrier because the rapture wasn't here. And there's a part in it, it's so funny, where they're in Israel, and they're right next to they're right in the square, and they're talking about the history of the place and trying to tie it to their Christian lineage, or alleged Christian lineage that they believe in. And this guy comes over and says, okay, one of the area guards comes over and says, what you're doing right now is you're being a little bit too loud, and you're angering a lot of people who just want to enjoy the scenery. We're not trying to create a disturbance, so you're going to have to be a little bit quieter. And then you can hear the preacher goes, well, anyway, so when the rapture comes, he has no idea. I mean, it's that constant thing about they just want that mosque gone. They have this like big smile on their face. Like somehow, if they get rid of the mosque, that the complete prophecy will come even faster. And that's the ultimate crazy thing about it. And the fact that radio keeps fueling, you know, the whole evangelical line, getting all basically. I know a lot of people say, well, all the states aren't like that. No, all the states are like that. They've been constantly pumped. Like, instead of pharmaceutical drugs, these are evangelical drugs. And we've been just constantly flooded for decades and decades of media content. And it's nonstop. And the only thing you can do is you can, I guess this is sort of like a detoxing session. Like, if someone's listening right now, Bob, and I feel for you, really I do, but I can't relate to you in the sense that I wasn't raised in that environment, but Bob can relate to you. He was raised in that environment. And what I would say is keep listening. And I understand it's tough. And I understand that it's really vicious and harsh out there and savage with the climate, the culture that's going on. But you have to continue on believing what you believe. You have to do it in private. You know, do it in private. If that's the safest thing for you to do. But, you know, I think right now we're at that point where we have to constantly be expressing our views and our opinions as much as we can in the bastions of the places of where we currently are at. Where I'm at, Maine, where you're in West Virginia, everybody needs to constantly be speaking their piece out there, why this is crazy, why this is insane, and why we don't want to follow this.
Well, I mean, can we just ask the simple question, why is a minister opening his radio show with gunfire? I'm transported by that.
I think, you know, it's that... It definitely has to do with this.
We were joking last week, and I still think it's a great idea if we could get anybody to design it. You know, the little box that goes over the Kleenex box that says Jesus is coming. I think we could make a fortune for the horn selling those things.
Oh, you would definitely do that, and you would definitely...
And the fundies would never even be in on the gag. But the fact... No, they're not... Nah, that's just dirty. No, for them, what they want is a Jesus is coming the gun case.
Jesus is coming, lock and load. We're going to go save the world with him. One bullet at a time.
Well, you know, they would love that if there was a way that they could tie directly Jesus into guns. If there was a time where they could put intelligent design where guns were just originally here on Earth and man did not create that.
Hey, give Tennessee a chance. You know, they're going to let the monkey bill become law. Did you catch that today?
I think I caught a bit of that, yes.
The Governor Haslam, who didn't want to be seen as quite as mouth-breathing and knuckle-walking as the legislature generally that passed that bill, decided he wouldn't sign it into law, but neither would he veto it. So it's just going to become law. And so, if Tennessee can take that kind of a leap back into the 11th freaking century, well, what's to stop them from declaring that in the beginning were guns, and the word was guns, and God, and guns were God? Right?
Yeah, I mean...
Just rewrite the first book, first chapter of John.
Yeah.
David in Tennessee noting, he said, I'm really being contemplative with this. Isn't the Dickland opening with gunfire and encouraging vocals a bit of a nudge to the faithful to shoot 'em if you see 'em? You know, the unbeliever, that is. And David in Tennessee says, really, I offer this in complete seriousness, and I understand the gravity with, because that is exactly what it is. You know, when the chief ethicist of the Southern Baptist Convention opens his radio show with audio of gunfire, that is a tacit endorsement of gunfire. And then in that same segment, goes about defending George Zimmerman, who blew away a kid who was armed with a bag of goddamn Skittles. David's not kidding, and neither am I, David.
No, I think, again...
That is a classic example of right-wing eliminationism.
There's obvious something to do with the way the laws that are going down now and the way the media is pumping out, especially right-wing media. You know, it's no coincidence, Bob, that Fox News, the first person that Zimmerman called was Sean Hannity. You got to help me. You got to help me, buddy.
Well, you know, I find that whole story so hilarious, David, because... Now Sean is going to get to be a witness for the prosecution. And he's going to try to claim, and this is going to be a hoot, and I don't even know if the prosecution will try to fight this fight. If I was doing the prosecuting, I would. He's going to claim journalistic privilege.
Mm.
Now, if Sean, you know, this goes back to if Dick Land is an ethicist, what Michael said, I'm an effing astronaut. Hell, I've flown with Kirk and Picard on every damn mission. Well, this is that, too. If Sean Hannity is a journalist, I'm the crown prince in exile of the Romanov dynasty, okay? Sean Hannity is no more a journalist than a hamster on a treadmill is a physicist. But what's going to be funny is Florida has exemptions for
because I had an off-the-record discussion with him. Well, you know what? You don't have a privilege.
Mm.
And so that privilege is going to be overturned, and Sean Hannity could very well be forced to drop the dime unless he wants to claim he's a lawyer, too, and then we can go. Then we can talk about unauthorized practice of law. He's gonna have to drop the dime on his pal George. There's no getting around it.
And this really does go back to the double standard is so striking. Can you imagine, for example, Mumia Jamal calling in the Tavis Smiley? would there be a difference of media coverage?
You know what? I want to live in the universe where that happens, though. I want Mumia to call Sean Hannity.
There you go. What would happen then? To me, that's the whole thing. This is where we where everything is completely distorted, and nobody wants to have that conversation. The conversation of race, the conversation of cultures, and the conversation of double standards that's happening in America right now as we speak at blinding rates all across the country. You know, when they were talking in the documentary how much we ignored the Democrats when they had the religious vote, and how the right wing snatched it from them because they just knew how to do gullible marketing and branding a lot better than the Democrats. And they talk about the rise of the evangelical media and how fast it's grown. And basically the point was how dangerous it is now with this constantly being pumped. And you think about this, Bob. You have somebody who's really smart, like a woman who is a software programmer who programs jet engines, and she comes to the realization that, number one, Jesus is not coming back, that she's been hoaxed. This genius, brilliant woman with an engineering degree has been completely taken in. And how emotional and psychologically damaging that has to be. And what happens at that moment when you realize it, whether it's 20 or 30 years, when you finally comes to realization in your head that you've just been completely hoaxed, where do you go from there? And I think that's the biggest problem, trying to get people off the, so to speak, the E-train, the evangelical train.
Get them back onto the S-train, the same train?
Get them back on the S-train, exactly.
I want to back up just a minute to this whole Sean Hannity journalist thing for a second.
Yeah.
Because I think you'll find this interesting, David. Here's the Florida Evidence Code, section 90.5015. A party seeking to overcome this privilege must make a clear and specific showing that, A, the information is relevant and material to unresolved issues that have been raised in the proceeding for which the information is sought. Well, check mark. B, the information cannot be obtained from alternate sources unless they can, like, dig them out of the recordings down in the bowels of the National Security Agency, which I think would be hilarious insofar as Hannity supports that. Check. C, a compelling interest exists for requiring disclosure of the information. Well, hello? Check. Now this is where it gets really fun. If that finding is made, and the life support system for a hairdo refuses to testify, then guess what he gets to do? He gets to learn how, David, to purge himself of his contempt, because his behavior will be contemptuous of the court. And the way we teach a recalcitrant witness to purge themselves of their contempt is by sending them to prison. You remember when Susan McDougal, at the insistence of Ken Starr, spent God knows how long in prison for refusing to do Ken Starr's bidding and make crap up about Bill Clinton?
Right.
And more recently, that stenographer for the New York Times that also went to prison for refusing to reveal her sources. Well, Sean could find himself doing that, too.
And I got to tell you, it's just because I'm a really mean person. I want that to happen. Because, see, I mean, he went on the air. He went on the air, the Hannity job did. And he said, we received a call yesterday from someone whom we are pretty sure was George Zimmerman. I told him I would keep what he said in confidence. And then he said, but. Now, yesterday I was contacted, I gotta learn to do Hannity. Now, yesterday I was contacted by an individual, okay, that we in fact believe was George Zimmerman. He reached out to me, we spoke on the phone about his case, and I agreed not to report on the contents of that conversation. That's it. I know nothing about his relationship with his now former attorneys. I have confirmed, yes, he was a mentor to minority children. That's important, David, because that means he just broke the privilege. And the privilege, once broken, is very much like Humpty Dumpty and cannot be put back together again. So, I'm guessing that the boys in legal over there to Radio Rwanda are having a bit of a hissy.
Yeah, I would guess that too. I think I wonder though how much of a break Sean Hannity is going to get as a journalist from Fox News and playing back into the whole world of the double standard. How much Fox News can?
Oh, I can just hear the hissy at Murdoch Central now. You tell that life support system for a haircut. This only goes so far. It's not like I have enough problems to begin with a bunch of goddamn the tape recorders with the globe, right? I'll can him in a minute. I'll sack him. I'll let him rot in that damn jail. What does he think he is, Judith Miller? Oh, I want this. I want this. I'm putting this on the Christmas list. I'm gonna go find some old drunk under the bridge and give him the Santa Claus suit just so I can go, Santa, really, please.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what happens with that. And one other thing, I think you should mention the phone number.
Oh, yeah, we've got a phone number, don't we?
Yeah.
That would be 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you wish to carry the charges yourself or you have some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing program, 304-658-3333 is the number. You can reach the program via email at bobkincaid, bobkincaid, @gmail.com.
And I understand you can send contributions there.
You absolutely can. If you wish to avoid the transfer fees, you can simply log into your PayPal account and in the send money box, put in Bob Kincaid, bobkincaid, @gmail.com. Then choose personal and gift, and that will keep any transfer fees from attaching to your kind contribution to keeping the horn on the air.
I think you pretty much covered it. And one last thing, Jug-a-Punch, your contribution gift is on its way.
So you did find it?
Yes, I did find it. Thank
okay,
you.
You made me think I was losing my mind for a minute, David.
No,
be careful.
No, I think it just had to do with the fact that I had to go back a few pages because of junk mail and subscription emails of people who try to send things to you. And
yeah, I know. But believe me, I know how that goes.
Yeah, that whole thing. But Jug-a-Punch, your contribution gift of the Newsroom DVD series is on its way, and it's from all of us from here at the Horn, and we hope you enjoy it.
Well, thank you very kindly, David, and have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too, Bob.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
Amen. Praise. David, pop culture correspondent, calling from Maine. Hey, I got to throw this one out there for you just for a minute because the email came in from Ron in Raleigh who said, here's to Kid A. All hail A. All hail A. You'll understand why.
Yeah. Going to the party, sipping on Bacardi. Wanna be the hottie, but there's Adam, Steve, and Marty. There's Billy, Todd, and Tommy. They're on the front of the army. The only booze I see tonight will be made up by Tommy.
Tell the fellas, make it understood. It ain't no good if there's too much wood. Make sure you know before you go. The Deslo Rojo ratio. 5-1 is a rodeo. Tell Steve and Mike it's time to go. Wait outside all night till 5. 20 dudes in a conga line. Too many dicks on the dance floor.
Dick, I really liked it. I'd give that a 6.2. It had a great beat, and you could dance to it. Too many dicks on the dance floor. Thank you both to Ron and Raleigh and Michael Kidday from the chat room. Oh, golly Moses. See all the fun we have on prayer meeting Wednesday? Hey, welcome to the program. Going once, going twice, and gone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the caller before me, but when you played that music, I had to bump them off.
Well, you have certain powers.
I had to because someone has been watching Jersey Shore without David Attenborough narrating.
Exactly. You've seen it now, right? The Clever Monkeys of Jersey Shore?
Yes, that's...
Do you feel famous yet, Albert?
No, not yet. Not until he does it, then I'll... Yeah. I'm trying, though.
But the audio fits so nicely with the video.
I didn't get a chance to actually view what you're speaking in regards to, because I bent my wife's knitting needle with my knee. So I spent, trying to rush to try to fix, a big knee bend and a big knitting needle.
Ow. Is your knee okay?
Yeah, no,
I mean, you didn't bend the pointy part of the needle, did you?
No. I was trying to clean our window, and it just happened. It's like, you don't want me to bend your knitting needle, don't leave it on the freaking couch. Well, what if I sat on it? Then who'd be screaming, right?
You know, there are people who go to the hospital all the time saying that they sat on things.
I'm sure.
Baptist ministers, the right-wing politicians. Honest to God, that golf ball got up there. I was just sitting down, and next, whoop, it's in. I don't know, Doc.
Well, they certainly do remind you of Mr. Harrison.
Yeah, them cucumbers got little spines. Can you hurry up, Doc? I got a church meeting to go to.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't understand. I mean, it is. I mean, it's like what you read in that study earlier. It's projection. It's just pure projection. And those people, those are pig lickings. That's what they do. That's all they can ever say. If it's not, gays trying to destroy marriage, it's, President Barack Obama.
Don't forget, causing earthquakes.
And
volcanoes.
9/11 and 9/11 and, and everything. I mean, they're just...
Who knew that the fracking industry was comprised entirely of gay people? I mean, now that we know that they cause earthquakes too, right?
Well, wouldn't it be their actions making God angry, which causes the earthquake? So essentially that fits into the lexicon quite well, doesn't it? The fracking and oil and gas companies are God, right? You can't blame them when, a two mile under the, they don't use the right type of gears and...
So shall we just change the phrase from act of God to act of frack? All hail frack. All hail frack.
I'm sure that's one...
10 million cubic yards on Thursdays?
Oh, that's got to be one of the planets on in the Mormon universe, frack. it just has to be.
Kolob, Xenu, frack.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, the Super Adventure Club. Anyway. Oh, so it's finally him. We finally got a little bit of sanity. Somebody got arrested, and that's a good thing. About time,
Yeah.
Charged with second-degree murder. That's a good thing. Let's hope it sticks, He'll probably plead a manslaughter, and then,
No. Okay, can we have a moment here, Albert?
Yes, certainly.
They impaneled a jury in Mississippi to try the obvious murderers of Emmett Till. And after about a 15-second trial, the white guys were turned loose.
Yeah.
No, there will be no justice until the guilty verdict is returned. And what's going to be interesting, and I hate even describing anything having to do with this case as interesting, so I take that back, Albert. But what I expect is, well, no, okay, to the extent that I pray, please, Jesus, don't let this be like the O.J. trial. Please, Jesus, don't let this be like the O.J. trial. Some God forbidden, forsaken media circus with bad lawyers and oh, please, no. But see, the state has to put on its case first. It bears the burden of proving beyond a reasonable doubt that George Zimmerman did, on the day of February 2012, intentionally slay, kill, and murder in the heat of passion one Trayvon Martin against the peace and dignity of the state of Florida. Okay? And when they do that, the evidence is going to be a challenge, let's put it that way. Because everything will have to be let in under some sort of hearsay exception.
Yeah.
And then if they get past that and the case survives a motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim or something similar, then the defense has to deal with the question of whether or not to put Zim on the stand. And I would not for $1 million want to be the lawyer who says, you know, Zim, I think it's time you told your side of the story. Because then you're going to get the he done broke my nose and he was about to whip my ass with that bag of Skittles and have you ever been hit in the head with a can of Arizona iced tea?
Yeah, they hurt. That smirks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, would they have even brought those charges up? I mean, that's kind of the only thing is, I just think the level of the charge indicates maybe, speculating here, because we don't know everything about this whole case. We don't know. And then, you got the media over here, adding this, subtracting that, doing this, doing that, muddying the water. So, I'm not going to try to pretend that I know exactly what happened, because I don't. I just know it's not right. I just know something's not right. I mean, in bottom line, no matter what, if it wasn't Trayvon, if it was a 30-year-old, I still don't think people should be shooting like they do in Florida. I think that brings up the whole concept into question for me. But, I would think that they wouldn't bring such sort of charges. Murder one, they're obviously, and that's a, that's a stretch and a half. But, murder two, it kind of shows, man, maybe the FBI, maybe this, maybe that, maybe there's enough evidence. I mean, he was right for a minute there. I thought Dexter got his ass. I was hoping about that. But, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what we're going to wind up seeing. There's got to be something. There's got to be some piece of evidence that to initiate them to arrest him.
Well, and do please remember that the standard for an indictment is far, far, far lower than the standard required for a conviction. In an indictment case, the grand jury need merely be convinced that it is more likely than not that a crime was committed, and that it is more likely than not that the person being brought before them is the person who committed the crime. More likely than not is 50% plus .00001. Beyond a reasonable doubt is way the hell on up there.
Yeah.
So I would say that the system is still rigged. And again, I know this is a mark not of my legal acumen, which is something approaching zero, but more a mark of my well-earned cynicism, the fact that Rick Scott would pardon him in a heartbeat if he thought it would get him reelected. And what?
No doubt.
There's enough skinheads, right-wingers, repig-lickens, conservatives, teabaggers, yada, 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 in Florida for something like that to put it over the top. Just say.
I mean, Well, you know, and that's, you know, once again, Mr. West out of Florida. What is it with Florida? God, someone get that goddamn state some penicillin. It's dripping. Anyway, it's nasty, that state. My God. But anyway, yeah, I was born there. Anyway, you know, what he said today about, oh, I've heard that 80 members of the Democratic Party in Congress are...
Wait, you were born in Florida?
I was born in Tampa. Yeah, women...
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
I just kind of always had you pegged as a New York City guy.
Not born, you know. I mean, raised, you know. I mean, you know, I was bouncing around a lot as a kid, and you know, my father was working in some trucking company, and so I lived in Canada and Texas, and you know, I've been around a little bit, you know, as a kid. You know,
yeah.
Not that it means much. And the Navy kid, when I was trying to get my clearance, oh, you were in Canada? Yeah, I was three. Who would you talk to?
My mother?
My dog and that little mini.
Anybody who would listen?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I
are you now, or have you ever been?
It's so silly. Yeah.
But no, Alan West wants to go play that game now.
Yeah, he does, but yeah.
I think there's about 80 communists in the House of Representatives. And he was later asked for clarification. Did you catch that part, Albert?
I did not, though.
That's the number of members there are of the House Progressive Caucus. The Communist Party has said that they are their close allies, so that means they're communists, too. Really? The United States was close allies of the Soviet Union in the Second World War. Well, shit, fire up the Internationale, right? That makes us communists, too, in Alan West world. Oh, Jesus, not Westworld. Sorry.
Well, we get Westworld when Democratic voters sit and they succumb to apathy and cynicism and they sit home.
And they say things like, there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans.
True. There's that.
Let's do a quick comparison contrast. Here's Alan Grayson. Here's Alan West.
Yeah.
You know, there's no difference between those Democrats and those Republicans. Alan Grayson, Alan West, Alan West, Alan Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
See, we can move them around. It's not like three-card Monte. You still know which one's the progressive, and you know which one's the lunatic.
Yeah, that guy's a little crazy. He's a little crazy, that guy, not that West.
No, he's a lot crazy.
Yeah,
he's go watch the original black and white version of the Manchurian Candidate. Crazy. I mean, are there any pictures of him with Angela Lansbury out there? I'm just asking for. You know.
I'll tell you what. Ever since he's been on the scene, I haven't seen a peep out of Wesley Snipes, and he could have metamorphosized, you know, a little touch of gray, a little this, a little that.
No. If Alan West is anybody, he is Urkel all grown up. Nobody's ever seen them in the same room.
No, see, I gotta take you there. Urkel just bought one of those fancy electric doodad cars. Huh? Urkel's still sane.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Urkel's sane. let's keep the sanity boat in check here. We need to keep that.
Yeah, keep as many on the S train as we possibly can.
You know, I mean, you know, that's all we got. Walker, look at this guy out here. This guy over here, you know.
Well, I mean, the question was put last night, Brother Albert. What's going on? Is this going to be okay? Is he a gone gator?
Walker? Oh yeah, he's done.
When does the Democratic primary go down?
I think it's pretty positive for the Democrats. It should be here in a little bit, a few more months, because I'm pretty sure the election is all in one day. The recall would be on the same day that we vote for president. So I would imagine, you know, usually it's within that period of time. I'm not. He's going to lose. Walker's done. They have so much to run against this guy.
And is the legislature going to go get sane in November too?
Well, what's that lady? She just resigned.
Because yeah, wanted to spend more time with her family.
Yeah, you know, of course she did.
That's usually what happens right before the indictment comes down.
Yeah, no. What happened was that they had 1.2 million petitions, signatures for him. And, I don't know, some independents, so on and so forth, election board, they stopped counting at a million legitimate signatures.
Got enough.
That's more. No, that's plenty. That's more than enough. That's way more than they needed. They needed like 750,000. But, that's more signatures than people who voted for him in 2010. He's gone. Wisconsin is embarrassed. It's ashamed. It's constant.
Of course, you've still got four more years with that lunatic who beat Russ Feingold.
You know, honestly, out of him, and I guess Russ Feingold, don't get me wrong, I really haven't been hearing too much peeps out of this guy, and he really isn't doing a whole lot for this region. So, you know.
No, but he's laying low, and he's a countable Republican vote.
Yes, indeed. And that's probably what they wanted with this, all that chatter, is get guys like him in there, reasonable Republicans, or, you know, that kind of, but he's not either. That guy's a joke. That guy's another joke. He's a one-termer. That's how I'm looking at him. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's the apathy. The apathy is what kills us. It just kills us. You know, we get a little bit amped up for something. You know, and no matter what it was, you know, if it doesn't achieve, you know, our expectations, it's like, well, what did you expect them to do, folks? 2009, do you see what kind of, I mean, this is why I still got people bitching and moaning, oh, it's $4 a gallon of gas. 2008, you remember how much it was? What is it, 2008? Oh, man, it was up there, wasn't it? Right before the election?
Now, come on. Now, stop it. The oil companies would never do something like that. They're patriotic American corporations, right?
Well, you know.
I thought that was a bottle of water I was drinking. It's,
yeah,
never mind.
That sounded...
You know, it's amazing how much vodka looks like water. Yeah, of course the oil companies do that.
Yeah. Oh, somebody.
But now they're saying that gas prices are going to be down to the low bargain Kmart blue light special flashing in our petrochemical aisle price of $3.70 a gallon by May.
Okay.
Because the speculators are just going to stop speculating now that, and maybe that's what it was. Maybe it never was about President Not Sure, Albert. Maybe the oil speculators were all a speculating because they were scared stiff it was going to be Ron Paul or the frothy one? Maybe that was what was scaring him. Maybe now that we've got it all settled down and we know that Planet Kolob is going to run against Planet Normal, maybe it's just going to settle down, calm down, and the oil companies will be nice and relaxed. And, you know, here's a little, you know, here's a little Ativan for you. Okay. Oh, you're feeling much better now, aren't you?
Yeah, they go into hibernation mode in terms of profits for a little bit, and then they come back. But, you know, I don't know. I think the speculators who do account for, what is their third? I think the speculators, of course, huge in it. And, you know, maybe the writing on the wall is more apparent. They see President Not Sure, you know, probably getting in this thing, and they better stop while they're ahead, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, they've already got, you know, they don't want to continue to gut during these kinds of things. Oh, man, he's got once he gets his second.
Are you telling me that for the first time, the CEO of ExxonMobil heard just perhaps a week ago or so Kenny Rogers singing The Gambler about knowing when to hold them and when to fold them and when to walk away and when to run?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he heard all that talk that the President Not Sure was doing out there about how, well, we got to get rid of these subsidies. And you know what? I don't think I want to go one more turn on the roulette wheel and put it all on red. No, I'll take my winnings now, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. I mean, you know, come on now. I mean, look at all the corporations that are abandoned. I mean, even McDonald's. Oh, no, we rejected our membership with Alec years ago.
Yeah, Wendy's bailed today.
Yeah, that's what I mean, you know, GM. All these companies are starting to kind of, you know, to me, you know, we all know they're in cahoots already. You know, they rule.net. Just check it out. Look, they're all there. It's a big, giant web. You know, you can pick and choose whoever you wish. Do all the which boards are they on? Anyway, you know, they see the writing's on the wall. We all know. You know, like, it's like, you know, yeah, there has been some, you know, bad news, but actually, it's not so much bad news. It's, you know, the rainstorm of profits over there for solar in Germany is a little bit over, okay? Because the government's like, well, we got to bail out Greece, we got to bail out Italy, we got to bail out Spain, we got to keep doing this. We really can't afford this 50-cent per kilowatt hour credit we're giving you guys in subsidies for solar power. But that doesn't mean it hasn't been effective. That doesn't mean that it hasn't sat there and actually reduced the price of, you know, Germans' electricity, the average German citizen's electricity, it's like a quarter of what it used to be at peak time. You know, I mean, these are things that, you know, people sit there, and once we get into this revolution of green energy, which is the only choice we have, we can't keep making earthquakes everywhere and poisoning groundwater and destroying, you know, gulfs and friggin' everything else, and what else are we going to do? Mountaintop removal in the Rockies now? I mean, come on now. You know, that's not where the tide is going. Everyone knows where the tide is going. I said it before, I'll say it again. You know, solar panels on every roof. Use the energy that we need when it's there. It's here now. You know, the battery storage system's getting better all the time. We need all these kinds of things. And, you know, if I was smart, if you were Exxon, wouldn't it be smart to say, guys, we've made, just in the past 5 years, about $1.5 trillion. Let's take some of this and build a crazy battery system and corner the market. Wouldn't you do that? I mean, come on. Doesn't that make business? Are these people businessmen? What are these people? Besides pirates and thugs. Come on. They gotta be at least halfway.
Yeah, just because they don't have the bandana over their head and the skull and crossbones flying atop the mast and say yar a lot doesn't make them any less pirates. You know, we have these little hissies about, ooh, Somali pirates. Ooh, have to take them out with SEAL Team 6. Ooh, Somali pirates. Well, you know, we got a shitload of pirates on Wall Street, don't we, Albert?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and how many studies do we have to see with these CEOs being, you know, 1 in 4 being a psychopath? I mean, how many studies do we need to see? They probably shouldn't be people. Corporations are not people. And we need to start putting people in office who can understand that just basic concept. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, these people want, you know, these Republicans, they want everything to be people. You know, the zygotes to be people, people to be people. Brown people aren't people. That's targets, collateral target. You know, they seem to forget that that's how they used to talk constantly between 2000, well, actually before then, but, you know, really were yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs and how good it was that we were spilling all that blood. And, oh, yeah, yeah, remember, go USA, USA, get a brain, morons. Remember all that? I'll never forget any of all that. That kind of behavior, that kind of mentality, when they pull that mask back like that, we have to recall that. We have to remember that. We have to be motivated by that.
Because it is a road we have been down. I mean,
yeah. Can't keep doing the same thing. We just can't, you know? Right? It's like, yeah, Obama's part of the road ahead, you know? But, you know, we got to choose somebody even better 2016.
I'm up for that. Somebody better.
Matt Damon, come on, the guy, come on, he's a.
You know who I like? Right. It would have to be about 150 years before such a person could probably ever run. Gavin Newsom, former mayor of San Francisco, brilliant, brilliant man.
Yeah.
Being a Democrat, he's not allowed to have a divorce or no. And I can still remember the fulminating Michael Savage. Dad, that any twosome Newsom, that gay marrier Newsom. Ah, 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 ah.
He's so jealous. Yeah.
It's the study, you know. It's the study. And in the case of the Savage Wiener, there's actual evidence to suggest that. Recent study is all too true. You know, all the letters that he wrote to Allen Ginsberg about Allen Ginsberg's behind. No, really. By the way, since you're nominating people for president, this in from Michael, George Takei for president.
Yeah, I'll take it. We need a scientist. That's what we need. We need a friggin' scientist. You know, I'm tired of these people. They always equate science with Nazis. You ever notice that? That's the thing about right-wingers. If we ever do have a science for a Democrat, like a Neil deGrasse Tyson, who I'd, you know, certainly recommend, you know, that would be a nice face to see on presidency for a while, right?
Yeah.
Man, I could do with 4 years of that guy up in there just handling it. I really could.
Meanwhile, just another little something to whisper into the ear of the universe, Albert. David in Tennessee is thinking ahead. He said, and you know, he's, David's had a, you know, that last one about the old 15, 20 minutes ago that was offered seriously, you know, very much so. Well, this is serious too, but it's also fun. He said, it parts out so nicely. The syllables are bloody perfect, says David in Tennessee. Planet, collab. He said, seriously, a sing song, four count, a sing song, four count, in front of every Willard speech. Planet Kolob, Planet Kolob. David in Tennessee, really, wouldn't that be quite the nation-saving lark? Let's see, what other four-syllable quickies? Magic undies, magic undies. Planet Kolob. And then if you could just get some competing Scientologists over to one side going, Xenu.
We're going to sue you. Watch it, Bob. Don't talk about Xenu.
No, don't say Xenu. The first rule of Xenu is don't talk about Xenu.
I mean, you know, you're here talking about closets and projection and homophobia and Xenu and... And that Planet Kolob chant, I mean, it's going to be stuck in my head forever now. Thank you.
Yep. Earworms by David.
Oh, that gives me the shivers. Oh.
That's okay. That's okay. You set David to thinking a few minutes ago when you were talking about being interrogated by the Navy about your foray into Canada.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful little moment.
Who'd you talk to,
Albert? My tricycle? Neighbor's dog?
Yeah.
My imaginary friend Fluffus? I spelled words with my alphabets? That was an early learner.
My inflatable Hulk chair and Buck Rogers light rifle. That's what I talked to.
Yeah. No big wheel?
No, the big wheel was a little late. It was snowing. It was Canada.
Oh, yeah. That's when it snowed in Canada.
Yeah, I had a toboggan. I had a little brother, a dog, and my mom, and my dad. That's it. Yeah, sorry. And a doctor. That's it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. All right, fine. That's what it was. It's just like, you see.
Oh, all right. You got us this time.
We'll be watching you.
We're watching you, Buster.
Yeah, one more move. But yeah, but you know, and that's like what you said, you know. All my friends in the Navy were gay. And, they were the best people in the Navy. They liked to have fun. They talked about real, you know, reality. You know, they were only fake. You know, they didn't have enough time to be fake when you're friends with them. You know what I mean? Because they were fake at work. They were fake around. But they could trust you. You know, they let their guard down. They were real. You know, everyone else was always trying to play games.
Yeah, I never realized that Navy was an acronym until I saw it last night, when Sailor Chick mentioned it. In the chat room.
Well, which one? There's a billion of them.
Never again volunteer yourself?
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that is there. Man, that school, you know, and the adventure and going around, there's a lure of it that when you're young and dumb. I think we should just change the age of adulthood till 25. I don't think 18-year-olds are adults. I really don't.
No.
I was 17 at boot camp, so I certainly wasn't an adult. But I learned the hard way, you know, but back to that, you know, all the guys that were, surprised me were all the Marines at the gay bar. I don't know why.
I'm not gay. I'm a Marine.
But the beer is cheap.
Gay. I play football. I'm a Republican. How can I be gay? How can I possibly be gay? I'm a Reverend, for God's sakes.
Look at my rippling abs.
Look at that. Oh, look at my wetsuits.
I got two.
Yeah, Rick Santorum, I mean, come on. You know, come on. Look at him. He's probably, right now, he's probably, you know, getting whipped by his wife or something, some like Mano kind of Iron Maiden type thing, you know, big cage, the all gag. You can see it. You see it. You see it. You see him right there getting whipped. Oh, I'm sorry, darling. Oh, goodness.
You've been a dirty boy, Richard, a dirty, dirty boy.
Yes. Yes, madam.
Well, I mean, that's David Vitter, right? Type of Dave. Hello, wide stance. It's just like, hello? Yeah, I mean, you know, in the future, that's what that word's going to mean anyway. You know it.
Yep. Well, it's kind of already out there in the universe, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll bounce back. It echoes.
Yes. Just like the sexual sonar.
Damn it, Leahy. I'll tell you, you know, I don't understand, you know. I don't know. I don't think Mittens is going to do too hot. I really don't. There's too much ammo. This whole, how long did this thing, is it still going on, right? Because Gingrich is now bouncing checks. He's
Tiffany, the amateur paleontologist Newton Tiffany Gingrich bounced a hot one to the state of Utah. And you know what? The folks there at the Deseret Bank, they don't play no games. They will send the Mormon Justice Squad for your ass when you pop a hot one on the state of Utah.
An army of bike helmets.
Callista, look at all the bicycles. I'm blinded from the white shirts. Callista, they're coming for me. No, really, really. Newton Leroy Tiffany Gingrich wrote a hot check for the primary to the state of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, has there been anything more precious in the news than that?
Could you imagine if that time shifting Barack Hussein Obama, imagine if he ever bounced a check? Could you imagine?
Oh!
Imagine that.
If he did that, some bank would robo foreclose the White House. and you'd have, my friend, you'd have Limbaugh out there. My friends, do you see what happens when you let these people have a little bit of money?
Mm-hmm.
But he did this after declaring himself the last conservative standing. How about the last hot check artist standing? Because after all, I mean, if you look at the Republican presidencies, whether it be Reagan or H.W. Bush or W., every one of those administrations existed on hot checks. And, okay, all right, Newton, Leroy, Tiffany, Gingrich, you're the last conservative standing because you're the latest one to bounce one. Newton, Leroy, Check Kiter Gingrich. Yeah. Because it just cleared a little too fast.
They told me they hold it till Friday.
They always say that, Newton. They always say that, and they never do. Yeah, but now I've got the $30 recovery fee, and all the checks are bouncing.
Yeah, welcome to our world, Newton. Here's a friggin' mop. The school. Some kid puked in the gymnasium. Go get at it.
Yeah, you need to learn the value of a dollar, Newton.
Yeah, Newton. Get to work, buddy. Put that shirt on. Oh, yeah, I'll hold your cufflinks for you.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, these are nice.
By the way, the Newton Leroy Tiffany Gingrich Amateur Paleontologist Campaign you've seen the commercials. You're badly in debt. You can't even answer the phone. Merely hearing it ring sets off paroxysms of your panic disorder. You've seen that commercial. You need help. Right? You said, you know, where the woman is recoiling in horror from the ringing telephone? Well, this is my favorite part of the Newton Leroy Gingrich hot check story. The campaign has not returned calls from the state of Utah. Newt ain't answering the phone now. Callista, don't pick up! Don't pick up! It's Utah again!
She got that face for it, too, doesn't she? She goes,
yeah, she's got that info. You need credit counseling, Callista.
Mars attacks. That's a Mars attacks lady right there.
Oh, it is.
That's why it is. They want us to build the moon. They want us to overheat.
With the little studded collar on the body of the dog?
Yes, yes, yes. That's Newton. They just added some. That's what they did.
God almighty. We gotta have a
little bit of fun here. I mean, Jesus, God. I saw an email come in from Dr. John in New York right about showtime, and I was so not okay. And you know, misery loves company and everything. So, you know, you gotta share.
Thank you.
Right. Well, you know, yes.
I'm here for you, Brother Bob.
And you have no idea how glad I am. Here it is. Yeah, morans. And it's not even Monday. Dr. John says, so there's a notice in our paper. Local Tea Party group is having an anti-tax rally on, as the group's president puts it, Tax Day. Dr. John, a man with a seriously analytical bent, says, problem. The rally is Sunday, which is 15 April. Tax Day is Tuesday, which is 17 April. Morans. Morans everywhere.
Yep. Getting a brain. Getting a Brian.
Get a Brian, morans. You know, we as progressive people, we always complain when the right wing sends out those flyers that say, your voting district is whatever it is, and your time to vote is on Wednesday, November the 9th at 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We're offended by those because it's dirty politics. But you know, when you see stories like what Dr. John just sent in, Albert, you realize that it's merely self-protection on their part. Those dumb bastards, the stupid teabaggers, Jesus, they'll be voting in January. Well, where's the polls? Well, we're voting on voting day, ain't we? I love them. I gotta admit, I kind of love them a little bit. Because stuff like that just makes my day a little better. Knowing them.
But they're just so dangerous. That's the other
thing. Well, see, that's the other side of the coin. I was sitting there trying to look at the heads, and you're going, oh, no, look, Bob, there's tails, too.
Yeah. It's like, they're like those fizzy wigs from the Dark Crystal. Right, it looks like a fuzzball. Oh, all right, you know. You know, I mean, that's what it's like with these people. And they bite right into your chest. And, you know, you'd spend the next, well, heck, it's been a good 30 years now that they've been having fun.
Oh, the boys were playing some video game. What was it? It wasn't Left 4 Dead, and it wasn't Quake, and it wasn't Doom, and it was... not Aftershock, not Chaos, Half-Life?
Far Cry, Half-Life.
It wasn't Crisis.
Half-Life's a good one.
Because I saw one of the things you have to kill, and it's like this crab-like alien thing on top of the head of a... Yeah, and it turns their arms into little claws and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I thought, yeah. Good God, it's the Republican electorate.
Yeah, and Alan West is one of those heads, and Scott Walker's one of those heads. The body's like a Coke, and the boy, you know, all of those people all swirled up together, and, you know, it's a good analogy. I see it. I see exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I said, what in the hell is that? And Ferg said, oh, that's a crab, Dad. I said, God damn, looks like a Republican to me.
Yeah, head crabs. That's what they got, head crabs. Might as well bring it in. I mean, you know, it's almost, Half-Life is so old now, it's almost part of culture.
Is that what it is, Half-Life? Is that, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, there's Half-Life Episode 1, 2, 3, Half-Life 2, you know, there's all of them. And it's like playing a movie. They're a nice experience, if you can handle it, I guess. It's fun. You know, and it always has a little, you know, cultural, you know, subtext and, you know, it's a good way to inform people in a lot of ways, and sometimes they get a little too ooh, and they start thinking aliens and everything else. They're kind of missing the point.
These are metaphors, people. These are metaphors.
Metaphors, and that's for cows, so take it easy. Anyway, you know, I mean, you know, so, yeah, there is all that, and I just hope we come out to vote. you know, I hope we're not listening to a lot of their nonsense, you know, for them blaming him for everything. They blame him for all the Bush crap. It's all him, right? Even if he changed, even if at the end of the story it says, you know, President Obama has worked to change the law in this regard and dropped this and wrote this executive order banning the use of that, you know, or doing the things that he can, with what he can. I mean, you know, let's not forget also, man, it's been, what, filibuster nonstop for everything. Let's make Marshmallow Pete's a national icon. I mean, that's the kinds of things that get passed. Oh, let's praise our troops again. That kind of crap, but nothing of, you know, real substance gets done. It's just a bunch of crap. Fights over nothing. I'll tell you, we got a clean house.
And you know what? We need to pay attention a little bit. I gotta share this with you too, because it's one of those moments. Today I got five or six right wing blast emails telling me hallelujah, glory, praise, etc., etc. Where is it here? News alert. Tea Party groups announce Liberty Defense Foundation. Liberty Defense Foundation. Foundation launches ProtectTheTeaParty.com as a resource to help defend conservatives from the harassment of Obama's IRS. So I guess everybody's going to get free tax defense bailouts when they refuse. Because remember, the idiots that were up on Capitol Hill that I saw a couple of weeks ago. And if this thing is upheld by the court, will you submit? Hell no! Submit. You know, to having health care. Submit to having health care.
Bending over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Submitting.
Yeah, because, you know, their consciences and their liberties and everything, it's just all gone.
Uh-huh.
Help me, God. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, well.
But it'll be okay. We just, okay. You know. Got to hang on and take the ride. We paid the ticket, got to take the ride. Brother Albert, it has been a magnificent conversation. I do appreciate you calling in on this here prayer meeting Wednesday.
Always. Hallelujah and praise be.
At the glory. There
glory,
we go.
Glory. Right, be good.
Right, later, Albert. Bye now. Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. A little break and then more of your calls. A couple of lines open if you want to jump in. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Just got this shot my way by David in Tennessee. This is from the And Now for Something Completely Different department. Based on what I'm seeing here, this looks like it's going to be a delightful couple of minutes from a magnificent band by the name of Hank, Hank Sinatra. The title of the tune is Low Rent Strip Bars. In other words, places that, you know, certain kinds of folks like to hang out. But, yeah, this looks fun.
It's so exciting, just like thunder and lightning when they're
now, I don't know how that exactly happened. Let's try this again.
Section scars. I love the dancers in low rent strip bar. Scars. I love the night. Low rent strip.
kind of woman fills a man with rage. Oh my God, I done spent the wad. When I get home, my wife is gonna put me in the yard. Migrant workers that are down on their luck, the smiles are free, but a kiss costs a buck. Discriminating ladies in the backseats of cars. I love them dangers and them low-rent strip bars.
Any of those in Tampa? Because they will be doing a brisk business come the first week of September when the Republicans get down there, you know, the Baptists, you know, the Dicklands of the world. An actual pay-on, I think, to an actual pay-on to the beauty of the die. That again, Hank Sinatra. Hank Sinatra. The name, of course, of the tune. Low Rent Strip Bars. It comes from. You can get the track for free by going to hank-sinatra.com/dl and enter the code WE7F8-8K27. Comes from their brand new CD. It's a hell of a band. By the name, the name of the new disc is A Year From Now. Hank Sinatra. So, let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Yes.
Hey, this is Kenneth out in Hawaii.
Hey, Kenneth, glad to hear from you.
Hey, how you been?
Doing good.
Good, good. Been hearing you been going back and forth to Washington and all kinds of stuff. I keep missing you when you do, but you know I get to listen every once in a while. So, but I was listening today and it sounded like that game that your son was playing was a Half-Life. Yeah, I've played that game.
Yeah, I think it looks kind of like the alien thing on the head.
Yeah, a little crab infest them. And the game is, it's just like an interactive movie. And all these new games, they're just like, they really lock you in because they're like a little interactive movie. And they're better produced than TV shows nowadays. They really are. They spend much
better. Oh, they're money. Amazing.
Yeah, and they're commanding much better revenues too, you know, because the TV's just losing it. Because people are tired of the same old stupid dramas. They've got this comedy, what do they call it? It was sitcoms. God, it's the stupidest shit in the world. Excuse me. It's just, And it's old. When there's so many real things out there in the world.
Oh, absolutely. I'm constantly amazed by the quality you get with stuff like that. It was being explained to me earlier today because, you know, I'm a geezer, that the big difference between PlayStation 3 and, like, Xbox 360 lies in the fact that PlayStation 3, being a Blu-ray player, can fit more data onto a Blu-ray disc than, and so that you wind up having to do that thing that you had to do way back a million years ago when you were playing Zork or whatever, where you pop one disc out and pop another disc in to keep playing the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, geez, I miss Pong.
Yeah. And earlier when somebody was mentioning about Black Panther Radio, there is an actual Black Agenda Radio. And it's a really good show. It's put on by Glenn Ford. You might have heard of Glenn.
Yes. And well, and of course, is that related to the Black Agenda Report website?
It is. It very much.
Yeah.
Is.
See, I love that's one of my go-tos.
Okay. And just that alone would scare the hell out of these stupid guys. I mean, that alone, you know, the Black Agenda Report. Oh my God. You know.
Yeah. They're going to get us the new Black Panther Party. Mommy!
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm fleeing the Christians to move all the way out here to get away from their scary asses. You know? I don't feel afraid to walk down the street here without a gun. There I would. You know, it's ridiculous. But I'm not scared of black people. I'm scared of the damn fundamentalist Christians.
No kidding. Look, I mean, like I said, Nobody had any particular hissies about Dick Land's radio show starting with gunfire.
Oh, and instead of just a little tissue box with Jesus is coming, you need a gun case, but it's got to be a gun case with a sword case as well. You know, Jesus is sword, you know, he's sword carrying Jesus, you know. So it's got to be a gun case with a sword area as well.
Yeah, well, it's... yeah, that'll be fun to see, right? And how far can the reality be? Right?
How far can they keep pushing this?
It's the Jesus Loves You report, and I don't know, the staccato sound of multiple rounds being fired automatically through a machine gun, you know, with all those cool ricochet noises too, right?
Oh, now I remember the Waiting for Armageddon documentary. That is a scary one as well, because it really goes into the mind of that family, the lady that writes the software code for these freaking missiles and the F-16. Oh my God, she's crazy. She wants Armageddon. She's like, yeah, you can see it, and she's got this zeal. You know, that's what's scary is they have this zeal in their eye. Oh, I can't wait till Armageddon. Yes. It's like, huh? And what then? Okay. What then?
but see, that's if you ever catch one doing it, you get to say, are we rapturing naked or are we rapturing with our clothes on? I've advocated this for years, right? But if you'll just do that, really, it's the Slim Whitman part of the program in Mars Attacks when the heads start exploding.
Pow, pow, pow.
Ooh, how, ooh. Bang.
That was a great movie. Yeah. Yeah, I think Obama had it right. I think he was actually quoting Marilyn Manson when he said they're going to cling to their guns and their guns, God, and something else or whatever.
No, they cling to their guns and their religion, I think was the exact quote.
Marilyn Manson had it a long time back. He had the guns, God, and government door.
Right, and you know, is it? And this is the discussion we could never have. Is that statement actually untrue?
Which part of it?
Well, the guns or they cling to their guns or their religion. Is it actually untrue?
No, it's totally true.
Right, and so I guess, you know, president not sure saying something true
You know, that's communism, too.
Right. Well,
because the only thing that the right wing in America can stand is this sickening, steady pablum diet of fantastical, mythological goop. You know, whether it be the part about how gun-owning, God-fearing Americans are going to protect us against the government. Well, last I checked, that's daggum treason, isn't it? I mean, I'm just taking up arms against the government isn't that treason? Isn't that
sounds like it
insurrection?
I mean, who's been advocating for it? All of them.
Yeah. But you know, they're patriotic, but they never realize that, you know, because they've got this Ronald Reagan mythos in which, you know, the sheriff comes out and says, Hubert, we know you're in there. Now come on out here with your six shooter peacemaker strapped to your side and we're going to shoot it out in the streets like real men Americans. Well, hell no. They'll show up with the tanks or the anti-person, you know, the federal government is giving grants out to buy military vehicles for police, you know, left and right. I mean, it scares me because it's part of the rise of the police state, but to act like that happened on Obama's watch for the first time, no. Kent State, anybody, please? But these, you know, these Second Amendment goobers, you know, they can have my guns when they can't pry from my cold, dead fingers. Well, that's going to be pretty easy, Cletus. You know, with a SEAL Team 6 certified, bona fide sniper rifle with a compass in the stock, you know, from 300 yards away. You're never going to... Oh, you'll just look down. Oh, goddamn, what's that? Where'd that little dot come from? And, yeah, goodbye, Cletus. And then they will pry your gun from your cold, dead fingers. There's not enough 30-06s and Dirty Harry 44 Magni or Magna in America to stop that. Violence will not create the change in government that we want. Violence just leads to more fascism, doesn't it?
So far in the last 3 years, they're just using an excuse, at least, to build more security systems and more, you know, intelligence systems, and you know, if you know, half the time it seems like they're the ones implementing it.
I could
implement the violence to bring on the security state.
I could tolerate some of this right wing paranoia if they'd had it when the first Patriot Act was passed. I could tolerate some of this right wing paranoia if they would at least acknowledge that the national security state really, really got up and running for the first time. I mean, you know, got its shoelaces tied and started sprinting under Republican President Dwight D. Eisenhower. You know, pretty please? But no, they can't. No, that Negro, he's taking our freedom. You know, people, I have people, you know, friends, acquaintances, people who don't know me from Adam's house cat. They say, well, Bob, you know, why do they really hate Obama? And I guess this is the part where I'm supposed to use a lot of big, a lot polysyllabic words and stuff. But the only answer is, look, racism. I mean, granted, had Hillary Clinton won this, we would have by now been into the, we would be into the fourth year of a misogynistic orgy. Okay? It would have been an extension of the, Jesus, what was one of his favorite jokes? You know, one, Limbaugh's favorite joke is the addictomy joke. His second favorite joke is the, Hillary Clinton special at Kentucky Fried Chicken. You've heard that one, haven't you?
No, I try to avoid Limbaugh.
Well, okay. Well, we'll get this one out of the way. Kentucky Fried Chicken has a Hillary Clinton special. Yeah, what's that? Two left wings and a very small breast. Haw, 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 haw. And that's what we would have had for 8 years instead of the monkey jokes and the editorial cartoons with shot apes on the pavement that say Obamacare or whatever the hell. Any of that, you know, it would have been dirty jokes about Hillary. You know, why does Hillary Clinton never wear a short skirt? Because she don't want nobody to see her balls. Yeah, that's what we would have gotten for the last 4 years instead of the racism.
I understand that.
We but still got war on women, but just not against her like it would have been.
Oh, no, it would have been, that would have been a double down, too.
It would have been, right, it would have been double as hard.
It's just, you know, because the man has skin darker than a grocery bag, darker than a white guy, a white person can get with, you know, copper tone zero and 5 weeks at the beach. Because of that, that's what we get off these freaks. And it's frustrating as hell. And, yeah, I mean, look, for me, the benchmark, and I think, you know, nobody will ever admit it, but I think part of the reason that that Santorum did not go on to Pennsylvania, as he swore he was going to do, had to do with that, well, we remember Candidate Obama. He was an anti-war government nig. And they'll never admit it, but that sank his boat, because finally, they got to say what they've been wanting to say. And Willard Romney must have just giggled his little white butt off. Yeah, we finally got him to say it. Well, at least it wasn't me. But, you know, it's out there now, so they know we really care. Yeah. And you know, Marty out in California also pointing out, yeah, and also because Michelle doesn't look and or act like Aunt Jemima. And so much truth in it. So very much truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mentioned this is entirely venal and perhaps trivial, but it matters to me. Because I got up this morning swearing because I saw snowflakes in the air. And because it's the 11th day of April and I've put the heater away and it's so cold I can see my breath in the studio here. Just tell me, really, what kind of day is it in Hawaii, please?
Let's see. Let me look at the temperature. It is 77 and 73% humidity. And it's cloudy and raining, but, you know, at least the sun was out for an hour this morning.
No, yeah, see, you don't get to complain about rain in paradise. I mean, can we just establish that little ground rule?
No, I love the rain. I live in the middle of a jungle. That's why I've moved here.
Now, are you on Oahu, or?
No, I'm on the Big Island.
Oh, you're on the Big Island. That's right.
Yeah, it was, we were the first place to actually take Limbaugh off the air. It was a couple days after.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Did you notice that he's been ditched in Philly?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he was ditched by the great big CBS affiliate, and they replaced him, and it must have been a big ego boost. They replaced him with the live local Philly guy who is sometimes deemed to be kind of a moderate, who didn't used to be. I mean, he was a real right-wing freak, Michael Smirkanish.
I've heard the name.
But I don't think he'll be quite as nuts as Flimball is.
Or Lars Larson.
Oh Jesus.
Oh my God, he's on here at night.
No, that man makes Michael the Savage Wiener sound.
Pick this guy up. Yeah. Lars Larson.
and he comes out of the Great Northwest or something, doesn't he?
I don't know where, but it's like. We can't have any programs from here. No, we got to have syndicated shit from the mainland. It's all right wing.
Really? Nobody's doing talk radio live from paradise?
Hell no. They won't pay for it.
Where do I send the resume?
Well, I got to admit, the one good reason is nobody's bothering listening to the radio. They're out doing something real. So there's not a lot of listenership.
Yeah, and what there is out there is music, right?
There's not even a rock station on this island. Or on this side of the island, anyway.
What is there?
They're Hawaiian and Jawaiian. That's their favorite music out here. It's a mix of Caribbean, rap, reggae, everything mixed together with a little Hawaiian singing to it, so it really sounds weird.
Like, you know, with the whole pedal steel guitar thing going on and, you know, a little ukulele or...
Black key guitar, and it's cool. It's just, you know... I'm a rock fan. I listen to Nine Inch Nails, you know, Ministry, and you know Marilyn Manson and stuff like that. So it's like it was a whole shift moving out here in the jungle.
Well, you know what? If you want to do it, there will be licenses opening up sometime in the fairly near future for community FMs. I don't know how many people live around you or anything, but they're going to be dirt cheap, and you could bring rock and roll to at least that side of the Big Island.
Yeah, I don't know why we don't. We lost the rock station and it went to just the same Jawaian. We've got only about three or four stations, period, over here. Just not a big call. Over in Oahu, there's a lot more people, so, you know, you've got several stations.
Wow. But you know what? Where you are, I just can't. Way up on my list of reasons this place sucks.
Well, it isn't. That's why you get over those little things.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, David in Tennessee noting, Lars Larson lives in a gated community on the fringe, and we do mean the fringe of Portland, Oregon. I can only assume that most Portlanders don't know that, or else they'd run him off.
Man, he sounds like a racist, though.
Oh, he is.
Okay, because I mean, he's just more blatant than even Rush.
No, that's what I said a few minutes ago. He makes Michael Savage sound like an advertisement for good mental health.
Oh yeah, Michael Savage is real bad. That's right. I've heard of that one too. I just try not to listen to anything they say because, you know, you just don't want any of it getting in.
No, because why do that to even one brain cell?
Yeah.
Let alone the nerves in your ear canal or anything. And, you know, once upon a time when I traveled a lot, I'd listen to a lot of AM radio, and inevitably you'd wind up hearing those first few bars of My City Was Gone, and then on would come that bloviating gas bag, and all it served to do was keep you angry enough to not run into a telephone pole somewhere along the way. That's the only purpose that it serves.
It would definitely keep me awake, you know, if I'm doing a long night haul or something. Yeah, phew. Man, don't miss that. Doing a lot of driving in Louisiana back and forth to all the offshore docks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's awful good to hear from you, and don't be a stranger by any stretch of the imagination. Enjoy paradise. Gee, I'm sorry it's raining.
Oh, I'm glad it's raining. We get so much, but we definitely need it. It's my favorite thing for the bamboos. They grow much faster in the rain than they do in the sun.
Oh, here. You got a big bamboo screen around the place, or?
I have about 30 species of bamboo. I'm like doing a little arc. I'm collecting species. You name it, I'm collecting it. Spices, fruits. You know, just trying to have something in case everything hits the shitter.
Well, and if it does, just leave a light on, will you?
Yeah, we got our first chocolate harvest this year, so.
Really? You're raising cacao?
Yep.
Processing it and everything?
It's pretty damn good, too. We put it in we like bake it into our, you know, cakes and stuff, and God, it's better than buying the chocolate from the store.
Okay, this has risen to the level of sheer, pure, unmitigated torment. Now you're just taunting. Oh, yeah, we grew some chocolate, Bob, here where it's not snowing and it's warm and 73% humidity. Yeah. Yeah, it sucks here in paradise. Yeah, too bad for you. You know how to hurt a guy, don't you?
Hey, getting back at you for all the food porn, you always get me hungry.
Oh, okay. Well, fair's fair then. But it's not like they've never roasted a pig on the Big Island either.
Oh no. We got some good luau's when we need them.
Yeah, I'll take that over what I pull off my smoker most any day of the week. So no, don't play that with me. You have yourself a great afternoon.
You too now.
All right.
Take Aloha, Bob.
Aloha. Bye. Oh, I love hearing from him. A little paradise torment. Yeah. Texas Betsy says, go ahead and dance about architecture. Lucas agrees with you. Yeah. Lucas does these cool graphic things. He was responsible for the U2 boat graphic that was included in the Michelle Bachmann YouTube boat video of some time past that shows a little magnifying glass with Bono on the bow of a YouTube boat. Dancing about architecture. Go ahead, says Texas Betsy. Lucas agrees with you. The graphic he created, not white. I think this is what you meant. Everything but the O is done in big block black letters. Except for the O, and the O is the Obama campaign symbol with the blue circle and the red and white, you know. Yeah. Anti-war government nig. Not white! I think this is what you meant. Thanks, Lucas. Yeah, Ray pointing out, we can't click our heels and go home. Bring us back to reality real quick. The fascists are gaining control of our government. They control the Supreme Court. They rig elections and have bought the media. If violence isn't going to win us our freedom, what will, Bob? Well, not the violence that the gun goobers of the Second Amendment militia society, otherwise known as the National Republican Rifle Association, have in mind. It just isn't. Violence is met with violence. There is no amount of violence that the right wing can do in this country, and this is by no means a challenge, it is merely an empirical observation. There is no amount of violence that the right wing can do in this country, no matter how badly they would like to, that will bring about a fundamental change in government, and you don't want the change that they want to bring about. Nonviolent civil disobedience is the only thing that has any hope whatsoever. How much did the bomb throwing and the rocks and the spray painting and everything in Greece and the burning buildings? Because the Germans just turned right around and said, maybe this austerity thing isn't a good idea. No, hell no, they doubled down. Oh, good, we let them get it out of their system. That's nice. Now, really, pay up, give up your pensions, give up your health care. Too bad for you. We're going to take it out of the working people's hide. If working people really wanted to make a difference in this country, Greece, anywhere else, just stop producing. It's called a general strike. Stop being the wheels of commerce for the 1%. Join an Occupy encampment for a day, 2 days, whatever, but lend your energy to it for whatever time you can, because it's showing up and not going away. The not going away part is the critical part. When you don't go away, you tell them that you are serious. Otherwise, if you show up and protest on a Saturday and you're gone by Sunday and nobody even knows you were there by Monday, yeah, hell, DC TV won't even show up. They will cover a PTA meeting in Rockville before they will cover a protest on the Washington Mall, unless it refuses to leave. By the way, I wanted to share this with you. And it's about 12 minutes before the hour. A little bit of time left in the program. I thought we would take a moment and just read through it's called a charging document. I guess we don't call it an indictment in Florida. The charging document against Zim. Yeah, you remember. Nice shooting, Zim, said the right-wingers, posting on Radio Rwanda's website. This is by information. It is not by indictment. Count 1, murder in the second degree. Four lines of boilerplate. Count 1. In the county of Seminole, state of Florida, on February 26, 2012, George Zimmerman did unlawfully and by an act imminently dangerous to another and evincing a depraved mind regardless of human life. Let's just stop there. Did unlawfully. They've got to prove the unlawful part. That's where the defense, that's where the use of the stand and blaze law will come in. Okay, did unlawfully. Let's say we jump that hurdle. And by an act imminently dangerous to another, okay, I think we'll get that one, and evincing a depraved mind regardless of human life, these assholes always get away, although without any premeditated design to effect the death of any particular individual, are you following him? Yeah. Kill Trayvon Martin, a human being, under the age of 18, provable, by shooting the said victim, and during the commission of the aforementioned second-degree murder, the said George Zimmerman did carry, display, use, threaten to use, or attempt to use a firearm, and those are all ors, so just proving one will be enough. And, so you also have to prove this too, did actually possess and discharge a firearm, and as a result, so you possess and discharge, got to prove that, and as a result of the discharge, death or, so you've got to prove that he died of the gunshot wound, that's going to be forensic evidence, death or great bodily harm was inflicted upon any person, country, or any person contrary to the provision of section 782.04 paren 2, yada yada yada, Florida statutes. This is not going to be any cakewalk. Now, with that in mind, I offer you the words of George Zimmerman's lawyer. This guy is not Atticus Finch, and this is not the wrongful prosecution of Tom Robinson. No, if anything, George Zimmerman is a Yule. These are the words. God Almighty, of Mark O'Mara, mounting a zealous defense of his client by media.
Mark, his former attorneys made him sound a little frantic. Mm-hmm. How did he sound to you? How was his voice?
He is troubled by everything that has happened. And I could not imagine living in George Zimmerman's shoes for the past number of weeks. Only because he has sort of been at the focus of a lot of anger and maybe confusion and maybe some hatred. And that's got to be difficult. I mean, truly, it must be frightening to not be able to go into a 7-Eleven or into a store and literally to be, in effect, a prisoner in wherever he was. So that would trouble all of us. And I'm sure that he's wearing some of the fallout from that.
No, really. He said that. It must be frightening to not be able to go into a 7-Eleven or into a store and literally to be, in fact, a prisoner wherever he was. He's alive. He is alive. Trayvon Martin went into a 7-Eleven. Mark O'Mara, hint, don't use 7-Eleven in attempting to defend your client. Your client's victim went into a 7-Eleven, came out with a can of iced tea and a bag of Skittles, and your client gunned him down in cold blood. Well, I'm sorry, the information says in hot blood. You following him? Yeah. These assholes always get away. Fucking coons. But George Zimmerman can't go into a 7-Eleven, and he's a prisoner wherever he was. Trayvon Martin, meanwhile, well, he's just dead. Jesus. He's troubled by everything that has happened. Yeah, you know what troubles George Zimmerman? The fact that he thinks he might not get away with it, even though his daddy, the former magistrate, tried to set it up so that he would. Oh, is Ockham's baby maybe going to go to prison? Oh, has Ockham's been pointed and pointed and pictured? Oh, such a poor baby. He's troubled by everything that's happened. Why couldn't they just let me alone? They didn't arrest me the first time because I told them he'd done beat me up with the Skittles and the iced tea can, and it was good enough for the chief of police. Why ain't it good enough for everybody else?
Why everybody got... I was just trying to protect my community from those assholes who always get away, fucking coons.
Not my words. His words. Atticus Finch, you ain't. Mark O'Mara. I do not begrudge George Zimmerman a zealous defense. But there is nothing that suggests that Mark O'Mara had to run out and preen in front of the camera. Yeah, Jim, exactly. The SOB murdered a teenager, for God's sake. Well, he's troubled about it. He's a prisoner everywhere. He can't even go to the 7-Eleven and get some Skittles and iced tea. You think Atticus would have come out to do a presser? No. And sadly, there was no Boo Radley to save Trayvon Martin. It works that way in books. It doesn't work that way in the real world. Thanks, everybody, for joining in this prayer meeting Wednesday. I enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. I am pleased to announce that we're getting there by the 14th, 3 days from now, we need to be at 1250. We are at 888. Thank you. We got last night taken care of and part of this evening. So that's magnificent news. And thank you for all of you who keep us, this conversation, going. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Thanks to our all-volunteer crew, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to Lucas for the neat graphic. Not white, I think that's what you were saying. Very nice, Lucas. Thanks to Reverbo. Thanks to my head writer, David in Tennessee. Thanks to John Fox and Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and of course John Fox, keeping all of this, so many of the plates spinning. It is always appreciated. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Coal River Mountain Watch is involved in the AKE campaign, the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign. You can learn about that by going to StopTheAche, just like it sounds, .org, StopTheAche.org, and learn a little more about the Appalachian Community Health Emergency. Over at CRMW.net, you can sign up for the email newsletter. You can buy yourself a really cool T-shirt, which I've been told are really fun to wear. I know I enjoy wearing mine. They're a big hit wherever we go. Save the endangered hillbilly. CRMW.net and StopTheAche.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Rick Smith is next, only on the Horn.